Thank you for listening to the Pursuit Church podcast. This is more than a podcast. Pursuit Church is a movement to connect to Jesus and make a difference. If you need prayer or would like to financially support our mission, reach out to us online at pursuitchurchsa.com. Now grab your headphones and get ready to dive into this week's message.
So good to be back in the house of the Lord with God's people, with my people. Y'all do know y'all are my people, right? Y'all are my people. I mean, this is a community. This is a family. I am so happy to be back. I want to tell you something, y'all. I'm very grateful for technology, although sometimes I really don't understand it all. But I'm very grateful for technology. And I'm very grateful that my son-in-law Myron and Susie and Miss Melly, they were live streaming it for me, for y'all. Y'all didn't know, but I was in here with y'all from the television set. I was sitting up there with my foot in the air watching. And I'm very grateful for that. But there is absolutely no substitute for being here in the flesh with y'all, my church family. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know why people be missing church. I'm sorry. I bless them in Jesus' name. It just don't make no sense to me. I am so happy to be here. But you know what? Let me stop and let's pray before I get started here, okay? Oh, Heavenly Father, we love you so much. I know your Holy Spirit is already here in this house today, Lord, and we thank you. We thank you for calling us to worship. Lord, I thank you for every single person here who answered the call and who came to worship you and to honor you, Lord, for who you are. You are the creator of the universe, God, and we love you. We thank you and we honor you. And Father, I pray today, you've been talking to me for weeks now, and you've given me a word. And Lord, I pray that you just push me all the way out of the way and speak through me, Lord. Let your word come through my lips, God. It's all about you. You are at the center of all of it, Lord. I pray that your spirit flows forth and that all of us are touched by the power of your Holy Spirit. God, I surrender my mind, my will, my vocal cords, the breath that you gave me in my lungs. I surrender that for your glory, Lord. Use me as you will. Again, get me out of the way. We love you, God, and we thank you, and we bless your holy name in the name of your beautiful Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Yeah, give the Lord a hand clap. Oh, God is good, y'all. He's so good. All the time. All the time. How many of you guys know that, you know, when you try to do something in your own strength, it doesn't really always turn out the way you thought it would? Anybody experience that? Can I get a witness? You know, you start off thinking, oh, I got this. I can do this. It's no big deal. You know, it's just all good. And then it goes south like real fast. Like things just fall apart left and right. Well, that happened to me. I know y'all know I had foot surgery recently, and I was holed up in the house for 3 weeks. I couldn't do anything. And the surgeon told me 3 specific things. He said, for the first 2 weeks, you are not to put any weight on your foot at all, right? And then he said, and you need to make sure that you keep it elevated above your heart. And then he said, and you got to get up once an hour and get on the knee scooter and move around so you don't get a blood clot. I'm like, okay, you got rules, man. You got a lot of hard rules that I don't know if I can't sit still like that, y'all. I got the ADD. And it was a lot. It was hard. And, you know, about the first, I don't know, 7, 8 days, it wasn't that bad because, you know, I was in a lot of pain and I was taking some medicine and it's kind of had me out of it. So, you know, whatever. I just laid around the couch like a toad, right? And that was fine. But then around day 10, it was like, man, this is boring. I don't want to, you know, this is so boring. And the thing about pain pills, y'all don't be fooling around with drugs. Drugs are bad. They will trick you, okay? The pain pills mask the pain so well, I thought, oh, I'm Superman. And so I don't know what got into me. Pastor Bob was gone handling the business, right? And I'm at the house, and one of my daughters was there with me, right? But she was all the way on the other side of the house, and something got in my mind. I guess it was the devil. And I get on my scooter. Y'all, it was so funny. I have a knee scooter. Oh, God, I rebuked that thing. Anyway, I got on the new scooter, and I'm going through the house, and we got wood floors, so it wasn't that big of a deal, but you got to be careful with wood floors. I rounded that corner in our closet, and boom, I hit the deck, and I was like, oh, no, what is going to happen? And I kind of laid there, and not only did I fall, but the scooter fell on top of me, and then some stepladder that we have in the closet, because I can't reach the top. Anyway, that fell on top of me. And then the belt started falling off the rack. I'm laying here on the floor of the closet with all this mess on top of me thinking, why in the world did I try to do this without somebody helping me? Why did I try to do this in my own strength? But you know what, y'all? We do that. We do that. We go through life trying to solve problems in our own strength, and we don't even think about putting God in the equation. And you know what? Some Christians, that's how we tend to live our walk with Jesus, like that. And then when things go bad, you start wondering, what happened? Why did this all go bad? Why can't I stop doing this? Why does this keep coming up? And if we're willing to be honest about it, we're going to realize that it's because we're trying to do things in our own strength.
That's right. That's right.
We look for solutions to problems in our own understanding. Huh? How many of y'all have said, oh, here comes a problem, I know how to fix that, and you start trying to figure it out in your own understanding? Yeah, uh-huh. And then we try to work the problem out in our own strength. And God has something very clear to say about that. If you brought your Bibles today, which I hope you did, I hope you brought your paper Bible, internet goes down, y'all going to be stuck out. Bring your paper Bibles, church. We're going to start in the Old Testament. We're going to go to the book of Zechariah. Zechariah is two books before the end of the Old Testament. It's right before Malachi. Zechariah was a minor prophet, and we're going to go to chapter 4. So are y'all there yet? Zechariah chapter 4.
Amen.
Old Testament. So this is the prophet Zechariah, and God had given him a word for King Zerubbabel. At that time, King Zerubbabel was facing some issues that he couldn't do in his own strength. He didn't know what to do. He had a big problem, and he didn't know what to do. And so Zechariah was given a word by the Lord specifically for the king. And this is what he said. He said, Zechariah 4, verse 6, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel." Isn't that a wild name, Zerubbabel? Anyway, "Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty."
Amen.
What are you, mighty mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you will become level ground. God was telling Zerubbabel through the prophet Zechariah that he wasn't going to be able to fix things in his own strength. It was going to require God's Holy Spirit to bring that mountain down.
Right.
And you know what? I don't know what mountain some of y'all might be facing here this morning, but you're not going to be able to bring it down in your own strength. You got to settle that in your heart right now. Settle it. Settle it right now. There are some mountains that you will not be able to bring down on your own. Only God can move it.
Amen.
You know, a few weeks ago, God put it on my heart, you know, to reach out to one of my friends. And, you know, so I did. He said, you know, go ahead and give her a call and y'all talk about this. I'm like, okay. So, I love her. She loves me. We're cool. So I call her and we're talking and we're chatting it up. And then, you know, I told her kind of what, you know, the Lord had laid on my heart. And we talked about it. And then a few days later, she circled back. You know, she said, I'm going to pray about that. And she circled back. And she said that God had showed her that why she was struggling in a certain area is because she was trying to do things in her own strength. She'd start out really strong, leaning on the Lord, trusting God. And then somewhere along the line, she just got off into her own strength and she didn't even think about the Holy Spirit helping her. And you know, when you think about it, this is true of a lot of Christians. We struggle with things for way too long because we're trying to change stuff in our own strength.
Right. Yep.
Why do we do that? I mean, have you ever asked yourself, why am I doing this?
Yeah.
Well, I really believe it's because we forget, as Christians, we forget that we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us to help us, or maybe we don't even think about the Holy Spirit at all.
Yeah.
We don't reach out for help when we're dealing with something. But the truth is, Jesus Christ left us the Holy Spirit to help us. And not only that, to guide us,
right,
to give us wisdom and encouragement when we need it the most.
Yeah. Yeah.
And to lead us in God's truth in every situation.
Right.
You know, there's a difference between our truth and God's truth.
Come on, yeah.
We think what we think, but God knows what's best.
Yeah, right.
His truth. I'm talking about capital T truth. Jesus left us the Holy Spirit to empower us to live every part of our lives in alignment with God's will. And that's actually my first point today. The Holy Spirit empowers us to live in alignment with God's will. So let me just explain a little bit more about the Holy Spirit. Okay, because sometimes we don't really understand. Well, the first thing you need to know is that the Holy Spirit is not a thing. It's a who.
That's right. That's right.
The Holy Spirit is the third person in the Trinity of God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is part of the triune God, the creator of the universe. To who? Second, the Holy Spirit is given to all believers the moment we ask Jesus into our hearts. So that means if you have never asked Jesus into your heart, you've never asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life, you don't have the indwelling Holy Spirit. Yeah, I was gone 3 weeks. Lord's been speaking to me. Go ahead, breathe. It's okay. That's a fact. That's a truth. And I know that some of us came from denominational backgrounds where, you know, we're taught something different. But the truth is what exactly Paul wrote in Ephesians 1:13, and this is what it says. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, capital T truth, God's truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. Paul is telling us that when you heard the gospel of Jesus and you believed what the gospel says, that Jesus is the Son of God, that he was crucified, rose, died, buried, and all for our sins, and you respond by repenting of your sin, and you ask him to forgive you, and then you ask him to be the Lord of your life, that's when salvation comes, and that's when the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in your spirit, in the moment of salvation. The very presence of God living inside of you. And with the Holy Spirit living inside of you, you have everything you need to live in alignment with the will of God. Now, let me just give you a simple example of how that Holy Spirit living in you kind of lives out. So I have three daughters, right? And each one of them is totally different. I mean, if you know them, they're all different, okay? You got a loud one, you got a quiet one, you got a funny one. They're all different. But inside of every single one of them is a part of me because I'm their mom. I gave birth to those women, okay? So part of my DNA lives in each one of those girls. So don't be surprised if from time to time they say something or do something and it might remind you of me because I gave birth to them. They have my DNA in them. That's the way it is with God. Okay, when you give your life to Jesus, you become God's child, which means you have the Holy Spirit, part of God living inside of you. Y'all tracking? I know this sounds complicated, right? And honestly, you don't need to totally understand something to know that it's true. Yeah, gravity's real. I don't understand how that works, but hey, you're sitting in your seat. Just because you don't understand something doesn't mean it's not true. And the truth is, in the moment that you make a decision for Jesus, you receive the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you to help you live in alignment with God's will. That is so cool, y'all. You don't have to do this alone. Why are you struggling? Okay, let me move on. But I'm going to say this right now. That doesn't mean living for God is always going to be easy. It's not always going to be easy, okay? There will be some things, many things, that you will never be able to do without the help of the Holy Spirit. And living for God is one of them. I'm going to say it again. Living for God is not possible without the help of the Holy Spirit. Y'all out there trying to, why can't I stop? Because you're not relying on the power you got. You're trying to do it in your own strength, thinking you can change that. No. Jesus said in Matthew 26:41, he said, hey, your spirit is willing. In other words, you want to do what's right, but the flesh is weak. Your mind is weak. Your body is weak. You may want to do what you know is right and pleasing to God, but we're going to struggle to actually do it because we're weak. But the good news is, when you give your life to Christ, you have the Holy Spirit to empower you. When we feel powerless, the Holy Spirit gives us strength. He helps us overcome challenges that otherwise seem insurmountable. That's my second point. I can almost guarantee you that pretty much everyone in this room is struggling with something. You don't have to say amen. Just look amen. Because if you're not struggling with something, then you're perfect. Or you're lying. I mean, and since we know that only Jesus was perfect, I'm just going to leave that right there. So let me ask you this. Is there something you're struggling with and you just can't get untangled from it. Think about that something you just keep struggling with. It just keeps coming up. And you start to feel angry and frustrated, basically powerless to change. You do your best. You want to follow God. You want to trust Him. You want to live your life with God full in. But you keep running into the same issue over and over and over. And you're wondering, how do I move past this? Well, let me tell you. Get still and get quiet. Like right now. Real quiet. Literally. Seriously. Because let me tell you something. God's not going to scream at you. I might scream at you. Just kidding. God's not going to scream at you. Get still. Get quiet before the Lord. Because you know what? A lot of the times, most of the time, God is going to whisper and you need to be quiet and still so you don't miss it. Make sure you're in a quiet place where you can actually hear when God's speaking to you. And when I say quiet place, I'm not necessarily talking about a location, y'all. I'm talking about stilling your thoughts and listening for the Lord to speak. Giving Him some room, because you know what? God needs some room sometimes. Room in our hearts and our minds to move, to speak where we can clearly hear Him. You know, that's what happened to the prophet Elijah, right? The Bible tells us in 1 Kings chapter 19 that God spoke to Elijah, but it wasn't in a storm, a rushing mighty wind. It wasn't in an earthquake. It wasn't in this horrible, huge, flaming inferno fire. In fact, when Elijah finally got quiet and still and stopped worrying about things, stopped being afraid of things, stopped talking about things, that's when he heard from the Lord. And it was in a gentle whisper. If you need a mountain moved, give it to God and stop trying to move it in your own strength, because you know what? It's not going to happen. But some of you probably already know this. Because you've been trying to fix things on your own, and it's not working. You might have taken the situation to the Lord. I get that. You might have asked Him to help you, but then you keep taking it back. Trying to fix it on your own. Trying to figure it out. You're circling back, trying to do this, trying to do that. And you're about to drive yourself nuts, crying on your pillow at night, wasting Kleenex, is wondering, why, God, can't I get free from this? Stop all that. Stop all that. You're driving yourself nuts for what? You've got to give that up to God and then get still and wait for Him to move. I know what this is like. I just went through this myself. Y'all thought I was laid up at home doing nothing. Nope, nope, nope. The Lord was speaking to me. He was. I was going through something and I kept crying out to God, begging God. Yeah, we don't need to beg God. Don't you know He's probably thinking, stop that. I was begging God, Lord, please help me. Show me what is this? Why help? Help me, Jesus. I mean, I was doing everything I knew to do. Praying, rebuking, binding, loosening, doing everything. Quoting scripture, quoting Jesus' word to Jesus, okay? God set me free. 3 weeks of this noise. And when I was forced, literally, to be still, sit yourself down. And Pastor Bob was gone a lot. He had to run the business. So I couldn't even find the remote. And if I could, I don't even know how to work the TV, y'all. It was literally quiet in my house for 3 weeks, okay? Until he came home. Laid up for 3 weeks. That is when God whispered to me. He whispered to me. And He spoke wisdom and encouragement, just like He did to Zerubbabel. That's what He did. Friends, don't make God force you to sit down, because He'll do it. God has a way of getting our attention when we won't give Him some room. So how about you just do yourself a favor? Take a moment. Get before the Lord. Quiet, still. Just the sound of your beating heart. I love the sound of my beating heart. We got so many kids and grandkids, dogs. And every time somebody comes to the door, the dogs just lose their minds. I love quiet. Get quiet before the Lord. All you hear is your heart beating. Don't even put on worship music. Don't even put on worship music. Just go outside and sit under a tree like Elijah did and then wait for God to speak and then listen. And be ready to do that more than once. Think of it as an exercise in building your faith and trust in God. Sometimes we need to get no response from God so that our faith will have some room to grow. I'm going to say it again. Sometimes we need to get no response from God so our faith will have some room to grow. And there are other times that we need to wait for God to speak so that we've had enough time to build our trust. We need to build our trust so that we'll have a better chance of understanding the answer He speaks to us. Sometimes God says things that aren't going to make a lot of sense. So you need some quiet time with the Lord so that when He does give you that answer, you can actually understand it. Get still before the Lord and listen for Him to speak. And while you're waiting, let those quiet moments build your faith, your hope, and your trust in God. The Holy Spirit will help you as you do that. It's actually part of how the Holy Spirit transforms our character. And that's my next point. The Holy Spirit transforms our character. You know, building character takes time. It takes time, right? When someone first gives their life to Jesus, they're what is referred to as a baby Christian, right? The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 3:1 and then Peter in 1 Peter 2:2 use the metaphor of a child who needs to grow up in the faith. You're a baby, you need to grow up in the faith. Like a newborn infant needs milk, right? They drink milk because they're not able to digest or process solid food yet. Well, this is the growth process. It's part of the work of the Holy Spirit in every believer's life, this growth process. The Holy Spirit helps transform our character, helps us become more mature spiritually and emotionally. However, we have to submit to the process. And sometimes the process means we need to take inventory of our own hearts. What's going on in your heart? You see, the Bible says very clearly that the heart of man is evil through and through and cannot be trusted. That's why when people tell you, oh, follow your heart, you need to walk away. That's nonsense. Mm-mm. Do not trust your heart. The Bible says it is evil through and through and cannot be trusted. So we need to do some inward searching. See, what's going on in my heart, Lord? Show me what's going on in my heart. That's what King David did. Lord, search me. Show me. I don't want to do that no more. Because you know what? Sometimes there's a connection between what's in your heart and the issue you can't seem to get free from. For example, the life of a Christian is meant to be a living sacrifice. If y'all remember at the first of the year, that's the word that the Lord gave Pastor Bob and I for the church for the year. That this is the year that we dedicate to becoming living sacrifices for the Lord, right? And the point of that is so that we can point others to Jesus. However, one of the biggest things that can get in the way of becoming a living sacrifice is self-centeredness. It's a real thing, y'all. And I think we all struggle with it at one point or another in our lives. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you the definition of it. And this isn't meant to judge anybody. This is just meant for us all to kind of just take a step back and listen. I'm going to give you the definition, and I want you to let it ruminate in your heart and your mind real quick. This is what it says. Self-centeredness is an excessive and primary focus on one's own needs, desires, and interests, often to the detriment of others' feelings and perspectives. In other words, what we want always seems to stand above what someone else may want or need. It involves a lack of empathy, where individuals struggle to understand and relate to others' points of view. It involves a tendency to dominate conversations, make every issue about themselves, and take more than they give in relationships. Ouch. Mm-hmm. You know, when I was a little girl, man, my mom was hard on me. Well, one of the things, y'all, anyway, one of the things she used to tell me when I would do something wrong, she would say, Karen, how do you think that makes that other person feel when you do that? I'm like, oh, whatever. But you know what? She was trying to teach me to look beyond myself to how what I do and say impacts other people. And I'm going to tell you right now, that is a very hard thing for all of us to do, even grown. Right? You know why? Because it's not in our human nature to think of someone else before we think of ourselves. It's not in our human nature to put others first. That's why Jesus kept saying, one another, do to one another. Now, ain't it just about you? Jesus said it over and over and over. Serve, love, give. Amen. It's hard to do that, y'all. The Bible says we were born with an innate sinful nature. In other words, we were born in sin. And if that sinful nature is left unchecked, that's going to lead us to develop some negative character traits like self-centeredness, ungratefulness, entitlement, and a pursuit of what we want over what God wants. Y'all thought I was laying around eating cookies and nope. I'm telling you, I'm in your kitchen. I'm in my own kitchen. Okay. Let's just do this together. Let's just power through this. Let's push through. Like the song says, Jesus, I'm pushing through whatever you want. I will do. Right. And this is exactly why we need Jesus in our lives, because without Jesus, we don't have the Holy Spirit. With Jesus, we have the Holy Spirit working in our hearts. And that's exactly what we need. We all struggle with sin, y'all. We all do. We all need Jesus. And we need the help of the Holy Spirit to transform our characters. And the beautiful thing is, when the Holy Spirit starts to transform your character, your life becomes different. It's so beautiful. You don't think like you used to think. You don't do what you used to do. You're not going to the same places you used to go to because you know what? Something just doesn't feel right anymore. All of those changes are because you are being transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And you're starting to make decisions that honor God. You see, the last point I want to make to you today is the Holy Spirit helps us make decisions that honor God. It's the Holy Spirit helping us. Everywhere you look, there's somebody telling you how to live a better life, right? Everywhere you look, podcast, reel, whatever. You see, somebody's telling you how to get skinny, how to be more muscular, how to have a better life, have a better life. But you know what? They're not telling you how to make decisions that honor God. You know why? Because they're focused on behavior modification. Modify your behavior and you'll have a better life. But who in here knows that it only lasts as long as you keep up the behavior? Anytime you're trying to change something on your own, look, everybody's going to fall off the wagon. Everybody will fall off the wagon. And if you've fallen off the wagon, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's not about behavior modification at all. If you're wondering why I can't stop this, I'm trying, I can't stop this. It's because you are trying to do it in your own strength. And this is what Jesus said. He said, look, trust me, believe me, I'm going to give you a new heart. It's not about behavior modification. You need a heart transplant. That's what he's saying. He said, I will give you a new heart to replace that old sinful hard heart. But you got to trust me. Friends, when we give our life to Jesus, he doesn't make us new, some 2.0 version. No. He makes you new. He doesn't recreate you. He makes you new. You're new. You're a new creation in Jesus Christ. Yet we tend to think we're just a better version of our old selves. And when you don't understand the mystery of this, you just keep thinking, well, I'm just going to try harder. I'm going to do better. But that's not the way it works. That's not the way it works. That's not what Jesus died on that cross to do, y'all. Jesus died so you could be new, not better. New, brand new, fresh and shiny, brand new. Y'all, this is so important that you get this, because if you don't, some of y'all are going to stay on that hamster wheel, running around in circles, trying to change, thinking, oh, I'll just do it better. And you're never going to be able to do it in your own strength. Amen. Here's the truth. Jesus died. He rose again. He is seated in heaven at the right hand of the Father. That's what the Bible says. Amen. But look at here. He didn't leave us out here on our own, flailing in the wind, not knowing what to do. No, he said, I'm going to leave you a helper. He left us the Holy Spirit. How would a loving Savior ever just leave you on your own to figure it out? Jesus would never do that. Right. Stephen, if you just come, they'll think I'm finishing here. In John 14:16, Jesus tells us this. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Right. Not just tomorrow, not next week, forever. 24/7, y'all. The Holy Spirit is your helper. He helps you make good decisions, better decisions, decisions that honor God. And how does he do that? By speaking truth into your spirit. You're not going to hear that truth if you don't have the Holy Spirit in your spirit, communicating with your spirit. This is so important, y'all. Jesus said in John 14:26, the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Jesus is telling us that God sent the Holy Spirit to be the helper we need, to remind of you of everything that Jesus teaches in his word. That means you have to pick up the word and read it. That's the only behavior modification you need to be worried about right now. Put down the phone. Get off that camera. Forget the selfies. Pick up the word of the Lord. Because that's how you know the truth. The truth that Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to remind you of. And I'm talking about truth with a capital T. Not Oprah's truth. Not some TikToker's truth. Make space in your life so you can start listening to the voice of God, which, by the way, will come through the Holy Spirit. I don't know anybody. In my 63 years of life, I know nobody who has ever heard the audible voice of God. And if you are in here, I bless you in Jesus' name. Here's the mic. No, but I do know people, including myself, who have heard from God through the Holy Spirit. It's that small, still voice you hear that says, don't do that. Don't go there. Don't say that. Walk away. Walk away. And it's also that small, still voice that affirms the good decisions you make. He affirms the truth of God's word. And the more you listen to that voice, the more your character starts to become transformed. You don't react to things the way you used to. You know, that rage, that anger, that gets replaced by patience. Fruit of the Holy Spirit is patience. Hatred and prejudice, I'm so sick of that. I see so much division, hatred and prejudice and racism. I hate that. I'm gonna use that word. All of that gets replaced by love and kindness, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Depression gives way to the joy of the Lord. Anxiety, fear, that fawning fear, that trepidation you feel, you're anxious and you're scared, that gets swallowed up in the peace of God. The peace that passes all understanding. The peace you don't even know why you got peace. All the stuff swirling around in your life. That's the Holy Spirit, y'all. Only the Holy Spirit brings that. I want to do something different this morning. I've had 3 good weeks of sitting with the Lord, and this has been rolling in my spirit, y'all, so we're just going to set it off in here. God's saying, open up the windows. God's saying, I'm opening up the windows of heaven. Come on, get your blessing. You know, if you're a Christian, and in other words, you've given your life to Jesus already, but yet you're still struggling with some things, I want to pray over you right now. I want to pray over you right now. I'm asking you, if you are a believer, a born-again believer of Jesus, and you're still struggling with something you just can't seem to get free of, your freedom is tied to faith. Step out of your seat. Stand up. Step out of your seat. Walk down here to the front, and let us pray over you. I don't care what it is. You're struggling with something you can't get free of, and it's the same old thing, rolling and rolling, and you're a believer of Jesus Christ, come down here to the front, and let's pray over you right now. Prayer team, if y'all will come, we'll have people in the front, the prayer team, ready to pray for you. Don't be shy. Don't nobody be embarrassed. You're among family here. Don't be embarrassed. All of us struggle with something. And the Bible tells us that there is healing in revealing. When you stop hiding it and stop trying to fix it on your own and you're ready to just put it out there, Lord, I need healing, and have somebody agree with you in prayer, there is healing in revealing. And if you're not a follower of Jesus, if you've never given your life to Christ, this is your opportunity right now. This is your opportunity. If you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, I'm going to ask you to take a step of faith out of that seat. Come down here to the front. We have people that will lead you in a prayer of salvation right here, right now. Now, the windows of heaven are open. Don't miss this opportunity. Your freedom is tied to a moment and a movement of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has been here all morning. Come on down. If you've never given your life to Christ and you're hearing the words and you're saying, I need help. I need the Holy Spirit. You need Jesus first. Let's get Jesus. Come down here. One of our prayer team will walk you through a prayer of salvation. Come out of your seat. Don't let the devil hold you stuck. You don't have to understand it all. Remember, just because you don't understand how everything works doesn't mean it's not true. You don't have to understand it all. You just have to believe. Believe that Jesus is who he says he is. I want to just pray for us. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for who you are. I thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, for Jesus, for the finished work of the cross, Lord. I thank you for bringing us into your house today, Lord. I thank you for your mercy, your goodness, your grace, your love. Lord, I thank you that you know every single one of us. You know our comings and our goings. You know every hair on our head. You know our struggles, Lord. Speak to burning hearts right now in this moment, Lord. Hearts that are struggling, that want to be free, but are encaged with the lies of the enemy, Lord. Encaged by depression or indecision or they can't think straight. Lord, there's so much going on. Free them right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, let the power of your Holy Spirit blow through here like a mighty wind and set the captives free, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, for those who don't know you, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that decisions will be made right now. Work on our hearts, Lord. Draw us into you with bands and cords of love and mercy. Heavenly Father, we love you. We bless you. I thank you for who you are, God. I thank you for who you, God. Lord, release the pain in the bodies that are here today. There are people here that are in pain, that have been in pain, Lord. I just speak health and healing over those bodies right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, give whoever's struggling in their mind, give them a sound mind. Clear their minds of all the lies and speak truth to them right now. And give them ears to hear, Lord. Give them ears to hear your truth. Free the captive mind right now, Lord. Provide for your people, God. There are people here who need a touch from you, Lord. They need provision. They need financial provision. Lord, provide for your people. You are Jehovah Jireh. You are our provider. Father God, I pray that you provide for our needs in every area of need that's represented here today, Lord, provide. And I thank you ahead of time for that, Lord. I thank you, Father God. I thank you for who you are. I thank you for Jesus. And I thank you for every single soul in this house today, Lord. We love you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you're still praying, you can stay here and pray. Anybody else, you could return to your seats. I thank you for your boldness. And I thank you for not letting the enemy lie to you one more day and tell you to be embarrassed about anything. I bless your boldness in Jesus' name. And you know, if you made a decision for Jesus today, we have some information we want to give you. There's a prayer table in the back, and they have a little booklet they want to give you that kind of tells you what your next steps are as you walk out this new life in Christ, because you are a new creation, and you need to learn how to walk out that new life that Jesus died to give you. So be sure you stop back there and let them give you some information. And the other thing is, we're having building blocks coming up September 28th. That is the next step. That's the next step in your new walk with Jesus. Come to the building blocks 4 Sundays in a row, and let's hear what the Lord has to say. Here's some more of the Lord's word and how to walk out a new life in Christ. And then baptisms are coming up in October. That will be your next step, baptisms. Coming up in October. Let me just pray for us. God, thank you for your word. I pray that it settles down into our hearts and our minds, and that we are changed from the inside out by the power of your Holy Spirit. Thank you for freedom. We lay it all at your feet, God, and we thank you that you are well able to handle it from here. In Jesus' name, amen.